Fathers, remain standing. Everybody else can be seated. We got a few, like I said, I got a gift for you. Got a great gift for you. Some of you can help me with this. So I got these. They go with every seat, because apparently you can buy one, get one free. So we got you a McDonald's gift card. Hey, great place to eat. You're loving it. And then also some beef jerky. And that's what every father wants for Father's Day. And so praise the Lord for that. We want to thank you for coming. And it's incredible. But this year, we decided to do a grand prize, all right? A grand prize gift for the newest father, $500 for the newest father this year. It's great. And it just so happens my wife gave birth to our fifth child last Sunday. So how does that happen? So praise the Lord. We don't have that gift every year, but somehow we have it this year. So praise the Lord for that. That'll come in handy, let me tell you. And so will the beef jerky. now we do. I'm excited to be a new father again this week, as I wasn't last week, although the baby was there. But it's praise the Lord. Mom and baby are healthy. And so we praise the God for that. Yeah, it's good to be back in church. I wasn't here last week. We were at the hospital and in the midst of labor. And so my wife was. So I was there with her. We're going to be this morning, though, in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. And I'm going to preach for you the message that I had designed for you last week. We're going to do a little bit of a twist for fathers today. It's interesting, but my brother, older brother, not Simeon, growing up was a little bit of a rambunctious fella, and a little bit of a troublemaker, and he kind of straightened his life out when he learned he was going to have kids. Kids are coming, and that's kind of a common thing I have seen. People, maybe they're a little bit kind of crazy, kind of living life to the fullest, if you will, that little bit carefree, not so responsible, doing things that maybe they shouldn't be doing, things with heavy consequences. But when they have a child that they are responsible for, it kind of sobers them up. That responsibility of being a father is a big deal, and it kind of brings people, many cases, down to earth and kind of like, man, I need to get my act together. I've got a life I'm responsible for. And in many cases, that feeling of responsibility is also accompanied with fear. What am I going to do? And it is true. You are responsible for a life, a human life. Not just to keep it alive, but actually nurture it and care for it and instruct it and discipline it and have that person grow up to be a useful instrument in society, but not just society, but hopefully our prayer is that for God, to be used by God as an instrument, as a vessel to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And that is a heavy responsibility. And with that, I believe, comes a little bit of fear. But I want to look this morning at what we can do in the light of fear. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we will begin reading in verse number 5. So 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, and verse number 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. God, I do pray that you would help us to grow in grace especially when we face uncertainties, especially when we face difficulties, when we face infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. Help us to rest in your grace, to realize that your grace is sufficient for the task at hand. And even though our strength may be weak, your strength is made perfect in our weakness. I pray that you help strengthen fathers today and help you strengthen Christians. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We all struggle with fear. Fear is a debilitating thing. It's a difficult thing. There are things that we cannot control, and that scares us. I mean, it's difficult to think, man, I have no control here. There's nothing I can do to change this one way or the other. And it's going to happen or it's not going to happen. And that can bring an incredible amount of fear into our lives. As I mentioned, you know, just becoming a new father. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've done this with just about every one of my kids. And with a new baby, they sleep very peacefully when they sleep. Really peacefully. And sometimes as a father, I'm like, man, that's too peaceful. And I get a little bit worried. And at night especially, I'll get up at night and I'll go over to her crib. And I've done this already with Makanalea. And I will reach over the crib and I'll put my hand on her chest. And I'm feeling for her breathing. And I feel like, okay, she's good. I don't know, maybe you don't do that. Maybe you've never had that thought, but I do. And I'll go back and go to sleep, and I'll sleep the night, and the next night I'll get up, and I'll walk over and look at her, and okay, we're all good. And I go back. It's just the way, I don't do this with my older kids for whatever reason. I guess they've made it through a few nights, and I'm comfortable, and I'm confident they're going to keep going. And really, babies are resilient, but you hear stories and things, and so you're kind of a little bit nervous, and that's just the way I am. And then there's fear there. Fear that keeps me from sleeping. And the truth is we don't know the future. At least our individual future. We understand that God's got everything in control. We understand how this thing is going to end. And we see prophecies. We understand all that. But I'm talking about your day and how it's going to go today. Could there be a car accident? We don't know. We don't know. We just don't know our future. And that uncertainty and that can cause some fear. Most of us don't know how or when we are going to die. I'm hoping all of us, right? Because if you do know, then that means that you've probably already got a diagnosis of something and a timeline of something. And that's not good either. Some of us might have a life-threatening illness, but we can be fearful. And our strength can be weak in the light of those things. And we can all relate too well with the words of Amazing Grace, a great song that we sing, Amazing Grace. And though it was written in 1773, it still is very relevant to our lives today. And one of the lines in that song says, 'Tis grace hath brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. And it's by that grace that I want to kind of call our attention to us this morning and to remind us of God's grace, whether you're a father, whether you're a mother, whatever your relationship is with those around you. We need God's grace. We must be sustained by God's grace. We must understand that His grace is sufficient. And His strength will be helping us when our strength is all but gone. See, if you have the Holy Spirit within you, Jesus Christ is interceding for you, and you have God's sufficient grace to sustain you. Now, that does not mean that troubles won't come. I think there is some of a misunderstanding about God and about our relationship with God, about this life, the Christian life that we live, and that is that if you trust Christ and if you walk with Him and if you have a relationship with Him, that you will not suffer. That no bad things will ever happen, and that's simply not true. You don't have to live life but 5 minutes to realize that's not true. Christians will go through hard times. What's interesting about this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the Apostle Paul, in the earlier part of the chapter, is explaining that he was allowed to see some things. He was caught up to the third heaven. He was allowed to see some things that were amazing, incredible, in fact, too wonderful to even speak about. And that's quite the revelation. That's quite the experience that he had there in the Word of God. And he said that I would like to glory in that situation, that experience. And he says, man, I mean, and you would like to hear it. You would like me glorying too. And you would glory in me in that experience. But then he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. So because he had this unique revelation of heaven, and because God gave him this incredible experience so that he wouldn't glory, he was given a burden. And I think you, like me, would say, hey, God, I'd rather not see heaven than have that burden, right? I think that's kind of what my mindset would be. Like, hey, I can wait till I get there. I'm okay with being patient if I don't have to suffer this difficulty to see it early. Because it kind of plagued him mentally, too, because he would say things like, hey, I'd rather depart than to be with you. But it's better for me to be with you, so I'm here. Great, we're glad you're engaged all the way. You know, it's kind of, this guy's ready to go because he's seen it. And then he's given a thorn in the flesh to kind of keep him from being too excited about it. And we have to realize that as Christians, there are things that come into our life for a purpose. Whether it be to help us in our Christian life, to mold us, to strengthen us, or to move us out of something that we're relying on that God doesn't want us to rely on. Maybe we've gotten too comfortable in a situation. He says, listen, we need to bring this into your life to move you away from that because you're relying on that rather than me. And that can happen. And so when these things happen, we need God's grace. Going back to our text, I'm going to read it again. Verse number 7 will start. Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isn't that a vivid picture? A thorn in the flesh? When that word picture comes into your mind, that does not speak of pleasure. It's a vivid word picture that this is not feeling good. I don't think there's a human being on this planet that says, you know what, I'll take the thorn right in the flesh. Right? That hurts. That's painful. That's difficult. A sharp end of a thorn pierces the soft skin of the flesh. It's not nice. And then it lodges beneath the surface. Because he tells God, can you remove this thorn? It's still there. Like, it's one thing to have a thorn go, that's bad enough, right? You get, that hurts. You put some ointment on it. You get it, put some things on it, put a bandage on it. Okay, you know, it's gonna hurt for a little while, but then it'll heal up. No, he's saying, God, can you remove this thing? It's still in there. That's the worst. Every step is a reminder of the thorn in the flesh. And sometimes those things come into our life. Maybe it's cancer in the body. Maybe it's sorrow in the heart. A child in the rehab center. Or red ink on the ledger. It's a felony on your record. The craving for alcohol. Maybe tears in the middle of the night. We just had the funeral service for James, who went to be the Lord after his bout with cancer. And it's amazing. We had the graveside service there, and we read some scriptures, and there's some songs that were sung, and everybody kind of put their flowers on the casket. And I, you know, stood by watching. And then I saw something on the casket that struck me. On the casket, as I looked closer,
I could see drops of water. But they weren't drops of water. They were tears. Tears that were on the casket. And it reminded of me of the idea of the pain of death. The thing is James had cancer for a pretty long time. He was fighting it, you know, back and forth. And then there came a moment in time when we realized, you know what? He's fought a good fight. But unless God does some kind of crazy miracle, this fight is coming to an end. And we all kind of had that warning. And if you wanted to say goodbye to James, you could have said goodbye to James. You had that time. It wasn't like it was sudden. I've gotten those phone calls where it was sudden. And that's shocking. But still, there was many tears. And to be expected, and I'm glad there was, because it showed that he was loved and that he was a person that was well-loved. That was good. But it reminded me of this idea that God doesn't always take it away in this life. And it does remind me, though, that one day he will wipe the tears from their eyes. And that's the verse that I thought of, that he will wipe their tears from their eyes. And I was thankful for that day. But in this day, oftentimes he doesn't take away that thorn in the flesh. And so that is our natural response, though, isn't it? To say, God, take this away. I don't like this. This burden that you placed in my life, I don't want it here. Take it out. Paul cried that, not once, not twice, but the Bible says three times, thrice. And maybe you've prayed not once, not twice, but thrice, but you've prayed 100 times. God, take this away. And you're praying what seems to be a marathon, and you're about to hit the wall at mile 19, and you're kind of praying, God, take this away. I can't handle this. The wound hurts. It's throbbing. It's painful. It's difficulty. And there's no sign of reprieve coming from heaven. And this is what you need to hear. My grace is sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. God takes on an added dimension here. And Paul is referring to sustaining grace. Grace saves us from our sins. For by grace are you saved through faith. Yes, we're thankful for that grace, because there is no way I could earn righteousness. No way. One unrighteous act disqualifies me from ever earning righteousness. So if I'm going to be saved, it's by grace, through faith. And we're thankful for that grace. But there's also the grace that sustains us. It meets us at our point of need and equips us with courage. It equips us with wisdom. It equips us with strength. And that's why many Christians who are facing these thorns in the flesh, who have gotten a diagnosis of cancer, can have wisdom in that moment, can have strength in that moment. Yes, though their body is failing, their spirit is strong, and they continue to be a testimony for Jesus Christ because of grace. Not their own strength, but grace. Sustaining grace doesn't promise us the absence of struggle, but the presence of God. According to God, there is sufficient sustaining grace to meet every single challenge of our lives. And maybe that thorn is so painful right now that that's a little bit hard to believe. For every challenge. For every challenge. He says, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's enough. I'm sure we're all familiar with the term insufficient funds. Hopefully not too familiar, but I'm sure we've all been there. I get the letter in the mail. Oh, no. Insufficient funds. I'm sure that we all fear that term as well. And it's when we write a check that we can't fulfill. And sometimes it happens at a grocery store, and it may be a banking error, maybe a deposit error, who knows what it could be, but you put the card in and card denied.
There must be something wrong here. Something wrong. Try that again.
Card denied.
Oh, I have plenty of money, you know.
Insufficient funds.
It's a terrible thing to be in that position when you have insufficient funds. God's grace is never insufficient. It's always there when you need it. It's always available. So never will you pray for God's grace in the middle of your thorn in the flesh that he will not give you sufficient sustaining grace. Truth is if you take a sponge and you plunge it into the ocean, will you take up every drop?
No.
Take a deep breath. Did you just use up all the world's oxygen?
No.
Pluck a pine needle from a tree in the forest. Did you deplete the forest of its foliage? Watch a wave crash against the beach. Will there never be another? There will be. Of course there will. No sooner will one wave crash into the sand than another one appears, then another and another and another, and that's just the way it works. And God's grace is the same way. It's always there, it's always available, and it will sustain you. This is the picture of God's sufficient grace, and grace simply describes God's infinite reservoir of strength and protection. The word protection is important because what is he protecting? He's protecting you, not your body. Not your finances, but you. He's got your soul. He's got you. And no matter what you or your body go through, you will be okay. Your body may even die, but that doesn't mean you're gone. Doesn't mean you've perished. No, he's got you. And that's the thing. I know that we think of death as being such a terrible, and it is kind of it's a terrible thing, but for God, it's not that big of a deal because he's overcome it. And yes, the grave has lost its sting, and death has lost its sting, and the grave has lost its victory because of what Jesus did on the cross. He has given us the ability to go through whatever trials, and even death. He's with us. Yea, though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. It's not something that comes up on occasion. It's something that is constant. It's something that can be aggressive, wave upon wave. In John chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. If God permits the challenge, he will provide the grace to meet it. We can never exhaust his supply. God's grace for every dilemma that you face. And he has every situation under control. He will wipe every tear that you cry away. And he will answer every question that you ask. And should we expect any less from God? No. He sent his son to die for us. Wouldn't he send his power to sustain us? Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, the Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When John Newton penned this promise, he did so from personal experience. His greatest test came the day after he buried his wife. Her name was Mary. He loved her very dearly, and he prayed that his death would precede hers. It's a great prayer to pray for your wife, I'm sure. But his prayers were not answered. She died first. Yet it was God's grace that proved sufficient. On the day that she died, John Newton found the strength to preach a Sunday sermon. The next day, he visited church members, and later he officiated his own wife's funeral. He grieved. But in his grief, he found God's provision. He later wrote these words. He said, the Bank of England is too poor to compensate for such a loss as mine. But the Lord, the all-sufficient God, speaks and it is done. Let those who know him and trust him be of good courage. He can give them strength according to their day. He can increase their strength as their trials increase. And what he can do, he has promised that he will do. So this morning, let God's grace dethrone your fears. Yes, anxieties will come. Yes, things will get worse. The economy will act up and will cause problems in your finances. Different things will happen. Disease, calamity, and trouble will populate your world, but they don't control it. God does. So no matter what happens, no matter what comes into your life, no matter what fears are there, God's grace is sufficient. I want to challenge you, whether you're a father who's struggling with the ability to raise a child, or maybe you've raised your children and they're all grown, there needs to be grace. I think one of the things that fathers struggle with is the thought that I got this. I am strong. I can handle. That pride will be humbled. And when it is, you need God's grace. Go to him, run to him, rely on him, and he will sustain you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for fathers. I thank you for your Heavenly Father, for your being our Heavenly Father and watching over us, for giving us the strength that we need. God, I thank you that your strength is made perfect in weakness. But God, my prayer is also here for those that might not know you as your Savior, Lord. And I do pray and I ask that you'd help us to consider our own hearts. And I mentioned earlier that I cannot earn righteousness. The Bible actually says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us the grave truth that the wages of sin is death. And we're all in that boat. We are all sinners. The one may be different than the other. The one may be, in our words, better than the other. We're all sinners. And for that, we all deserve the price for sin, which is death and hell for all eternity. But we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your grace. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Romans 6:23, it does say, for the wages of sin is death, but it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God, my prayer is if there's somebody here today that does not know that you are their Savior, help them to understand today that even though we are sinners, in that while we're yet sinners, you died for us. And that today they can be saved by faith in your gift, in what you did on the cross. And so real quickly, with every head bowed and every head closed, I want to ask you that question. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. If that's you here today, would you raise your hand? Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that Jesus is my Savior. I don't know if my sins have been forgiven. And then if you're here and you are a believer, you don't have to live long to realize that life will be hard. Troubles, trials, difficulties will come your way. And when we face those difficulties, it's easy to be overcome with fear, with anxiety, with trouble. But Jesus said, trust in my grace. It's sufficient. It will sustain you. God, help us to be sustained today by your amazing, ever-present, always persevering grace. And God, may you bless this time of the invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books, and we're going to go to that famous hymn that was wrote by John Newton, Amazing Grace. It's hymn number 3 in your hymn book. So hymn number 3, Amazing Grace.